Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
The title of the message is Judge Not, Love a Lot. Judge not, love a whole lot. So we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7. Verses 1 to 6. It says, judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy and do not throw your pearls before pigs lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Matthew 7, 1 to 6. Judge not, love a lot. Have you ever judged anyone? Hey, we all do, hey. It's such a natural thing for us to judge. Have you ever heard a sermon and whilst you're hearing the sermon, you're like, man, I wish so-and-so could hear this. You can't looking towards them. This is for you, man. Or maybe it's your partner, your husband, your wife, and you're just like giving them the elbow. Or maybe you're at work and your boss is giving some training or a serious talk or something, and you're just, oh, man, if Bob could only be hearing this. Can we all relate to that? The context of the judging that Jesus here is speaking about, when he says, judge not, he's talking about when we actually pronounce someone to be guilty before God. He's talking about the connotation of condemnation. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, do not judge. Do not judge that you not be judged. Because James 4 verse 12 actually tells us who should do the judging. Who is the final judge? James 4 verse 12. There is only one lawgiver and judge. He who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? Judge not. Now, this is not an excuse for you and I to excuse sin in other people's lives around us. Because the world has caught on to this. They all quote it. Oh, don't judge me. Don't judge. Don't judge. Then it feels like, oh, we shouldn't judge. We should just look the other way when things are happening. But once again, that's also not what Jesus is talking about. It's not an excuse. We're actually to be discerning. We still need to be discerning. We still need to use our critical minds to actually discern through the Spirit, through the Word, what is right, what is wrong. So in Matthew 5, just where we were before, if you go down to verses 15 to 17, not Matthew 5, but Matthew 7. Verse 15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. So when we hear judge not, doesn't mean that we're not going to actually discern when we're in relationship with people, when people are saying certain things or doing certain things. We still need to discern. Judge not doesn't mean there's no discipline when it comes to the things of God. Matthew 18 talks about discipline. Matthew 18, we love our Bibles, don't we? Everything we base on the Bible. Matthew 18, 15 to 17. It says this, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. See, these are people that are in relationship. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Jesus was here talking to the Jews, and they did not want anything to do with the Gentiles. They did not like the tax collectors because they seemed to be saying, if you approach someone and it's not working, you've had a crucial conversation, then you've done your part. You've taken to the church. You've gone beyond that. So this just shows us that, hey, judge not. It's not about don't be discerning. It's not about don't have crucial conversations. But actually, what is it about? What is Jesus talking about when he says, judge not? We're here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Now we're in the 7th chapter. Jesus is on a mountain. He's speaking to crowds. They've been listening to him speak for a while. He's talking about so many things. He's talking about divorce. He's talking about lust. He's talking about anxiety. He's talking about anger. He's talking about how to deal with your finance. He's talking about swearing. And then he says to them, judge not. Because he knows that as they're hearing all this, there's going to be a bit of, oh, what about you? What's happening with your finance? Oh, what about so-and-so? There's going to be a lot of judging, but Jesus actually says in verse 1, judge not so that you will not be judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. This morning, the first point of the message is measure others as you want to be measured. Measure others as you want to be measured. We're to be careful how we treat others. To treat them with humility. To treat them with love. Like, how do you want to be spoken to? Do we speak to people in the way that we want them to speak to us? How do you speak about other people? Do I speak about other people in the way that I would want them to speak about me? Do I speak behind people's backs? I'm sure we've all spoken behind someone's back. But we don't like it when someone else speaks behind our back. So we've got to think, how do I want to be treated? This is how we are to treat others, with humility, with love. We tend to measure others in a way or ways that will measure ourselves up. We tend to measure others. When I say measure, what am I talking about? I'm talking about the value that we put on others, the estimate, how we look at others. We tend to measure others in ways or in a way that will help us feel great about ourselves. We're in 12 days of consecration, fasting and prayer. Oh, I haven't eaten for 3 days. When did you fast, mate? Have you fasted? Oh, yeah. Then you just, that's me, though. Like, I can easily do that. Or when we're in fasting, We're getting close to God and we're getting stronger at things that He's showing us. And we feel good about ourselves. But we actually think of, oh, if that person could only do that. As we're becoming holy, we can actually start looking down on others. But actually becoming holy, becoming more like Jesus, should actually make us love others more. But naturally, it's still in us. We have the spirit and we have our sin nature. Even when we're going well and God is sanctifying us to make ourselves feel good, we can actually start to look, oh, but they don't want to pray as much as I want to pray. They don't want to worship as long as I want to worship. We tend to measure others in a way that will measure ourselves up. We measure ourselves against others. Measuring yourself and myself against anyone else is not the right ruler to be using. A ruler measures. Someone else and how they're going should not be how we measure how we're doing in life. What we achieve should not be how we measure others and ourselves. But it's so natural. We want to compare. I do this, but my wife doesn't do that. She does this so well, but I don't do it so well. Then I feel down about myself. Measure others as you want to be measured. What does Jesus ask us to do? Verse 3 to 4. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? What a Mother's Day message, huh? Welcome to church. Lucky there's no new people today. Just kidding. Just the gospel. This is Jesus' words. He's talking also to his disciples. He's talking to them about being hypocrites. We can all fall into it. So what does Jesus ask us to do? We're actually to measure ourselves according to Jesus. Not to measure ourselves against anyone else, but according to Him. He's to be our mirror. We're to look at this. This is where we get our value from. This is where we see who we are, how we're doing, where we're going. We measure ourselves first. We examine ourselves first before we try to help anyone else out with what they're struggling with. Doesn't mean you can't help people, but your status, your posture should always be, how am I doing? How have I been saved? What has God done for me? Where am I at? Measure yourself according to Jesus. We're to disciple one another in humility, and we're to start with self-examination. We're to start with self-examination. Psalm 139, 24, 25. The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. He says, search my heart. And see if there are any faults within me, any grievous ways. Search my heart. God wants us to search our hearts, to examine ourselves. This scripture talks about a speck. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye? Oh, we can see the wrong in others. I can see the wrong in others. We just think we can see it. Just like that. We can see it. But it says, what about the log? You're trying to take the speck out, but there's a log in your eye. If you try to help someone out with a speck that's in their eye, you got a log in your eye, you're just going to damage that person because this thing's just going to bang. You're trying to take the speck out, but there's this log. You're going to hurt. And that's how we hurt each other in church. Because we're not thinking about where we're at and what God has done and what we've been saved from. We're putting ourselves here and looking at the other person down there. A speck is so insignificant. It's such a small thing. A log is much bigger. We're talking about a plank. We're talking about a beam of wood. Think about a log and a speck. It's like a little twig, a splinter. Jesus loved to use just like these metaphors that were just over the top. He says, if you struggle with lust, if you've looked at a woman with lustful eyes, then you got to tear that eye out and throw it out. Man, we would all have to tear our eyes out, men, wouldn't we? Hey, any brothers in the house ever struggled with lust? You don't even have to struggle with lust. If you've got eyes as a man, you're so visual. Jesus is, he's not saying gouge your eye out. He's making a point that you need to take some extreme measures to get help from him. And here he uses another intentional, over-the-top statement of talking about a log and a speck. When I think about wood, a speck, chips of wood, I just remember being in woodwork in Form 2 in my country, Zimbabwe. It's like year 9, we're doing woodwork. And as we finish up, your hands are so dirty. You used some cleaning agent, some cream. It was just so messy, so oily. So all the stuff would come off you. So I'm there at the back washing my hands. I was being born again 3-4 years ago. Love the Lord. Washing my hands, but haven't actually started putting water on my hands. I still have the stuff on my hands. And I just dropped the F-bomb because someone was doing my head in. The woodwork teacher heard me. And he was well known for planking people. That meant he would get you to go get a plank from all the waste, and he would plank your butt like nothing else. They say, hey, Alfini, what are you saying, Alfini? Come here, I'm going to plank you. Then we get the thing, and then I went there, just knelt down, and he planked me, just one, for swearing. And tell you what, I forgot about the stuff on my hands. I was just rubbing my bum because I was in so much pain. I got all this oily stuff on my bum for the rest of the day on my uniform. I know what a plank looks like, but I know what it feels like. It is so much bigger than a little chip. But it's often easy for us to magnify other people's faults whilst excusing our own faults. It's easy for us to magnify others' faults while excusing our own faults. But when we actually examine ourselves, examine our hearts in light of his word, in light of his presence, God actually reveals the logs in our lives. He reveals our weaknesses, reveals our vulnerabilities. When we just say, Lord, search my heart. And when we do that, and this is something we need to do all the time, because stuff happens at work all the time. Stuff happens on the road all the time. Stuff happens in the church all the time. And we can start pointing fingers and start saying, how could they do that? How could they do this? Then we struggle with forgiveness, bitterness. But are we actually looking at ourselves? And why are we reacting that way? What can we learn? What's God trying to teach me through this process? As we just come to God and we say, Lord, search me, we're reminded of how he saved us. We're reminded of how he loves us. We're reminded of how his love is unconditional and how we don't deserve his unmerited favor, his grace. And so no matter what someone else has done to you, no matter how bad it is, as you just come back and you look at Jesus and yourself and you realize, apart from him, I can do nothing. Without him, I'm nothing. You get humbled again and you see your need for him. And then it says, once you've looked at the log, God actually helps you to get the log out of your eye. And then now you can see clearly what that other person is going through. You're not looking at it with condemnation. You're not looking at it with judgment. You're discerning. And then you can actually approach them in love and help them to get the speck out of their eye. And the speck's so hard to see. But you actually then, maybe when you've done business with God, you're like, that's not such a big thing after all. How about I just spend time with them? How about I just love on them? How about I just share testimonies with them? How about I actually tell them about the log I was struggling with and how God has helped me? Next thing, you're walking and talking with them. They're going, man, actually, I was struggling with this and with that. God's been putting it on my heart. I was scared to talk to any Christians about it. But because you're just, they might not even go into all that, but they'll just open up. That's conviction. When we examine ourselves and we see our need for God. Measure yourself according to Jesus. Measure others as you want to be measured. So when we do self-examination and we let God do surgery on our hearts, we actually see our need for Him and how we can't do anything without Him. So first point was measure others as you want to be measured. Second point, measure yourself according to Jesus. The third point is receive His measure. Receive His measure. Verse 5 says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So God helps us to get the log out of our eye. And as that happens, we receive His measure. We receive His grace. We receive His forgiveness. We receive His mercy. We receive revelation. We just receive Jesus, the Holy. He gives us all of Himself. And what He shows us, His extended mercy, grace, a new start, a new beginning, hope, faith. We receive that. And then we actually get to do something with it. But before I talk about that, it says, you hypocrite. See, a hypocrite performs external acts of righteousness, masking one's inner corruption from self and others. A hypocrite performs external acts of righteousness, masking one's inner corruption from self and others. See, we can be doing all the right things. We can be seen to be doing all the right things, sometimes with all the right intentions. But there's stuff going on inside that we might not even know is going on inside, because we're just going about doing like we talked about last week. Stop trying to do that. We don't even see what's inside when we don't examine ourselves. But then that can just come out at any point in time when I'm by the tap trying to wash my hands and I'm dropping F-bombs. People are like, but I thought you were like a Christian. Why are you swearing? Why are you now getting planked? What's happened? Then I get so humbled. I'm like, whoa, I've lost my guard somewhere. I just haven't really assessed where I'm at and reflected. And yes, sometimes, yeah, we'll all mess up. Things will come out. Things will come out. But actually, we've got to always be people that are walking with God in a way of examining ourselves so we can be used by Him. It's a thing that I've written down here is, as you receive the Lord's grace, you can't help but want to offer what He has given to others. As you receive His grace, as you receive His love, as you receive His forgiveness, as you receive His mercy, as you see Him in such a fresh way, a new way, you just can't help but actually want to express that to others. So we receive His measure, but then we give His measure. We start to see clearly so we can help our brothers to take the speck out of their eyes. So verse 5 and 6 says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. See, Jesus asks us not to judge. But then he asks us also to discern. He's saying to them, don't give what is holy to dogs. What? Who's a dog? What is he talking about? See, dogs in that day were just like, they were not used as pets. There was not a pet thing there. So if they're talking about dogs, they were talking about stray animals. They're talking about dogs and pigs that would just eat dirt, that were looked as not being holy. What Jesus is saying, he's saying, do not give what is holy to dogs or pearls to pigs. He's been talking for a few chapters now in the Sermon on the Mount about how we're to live a kingdom of heaven kind of life, a kingdom of God kind of life. But he's saying, all these things you're hearing, don't give them to dogs. Don't give them to those that reject my message, because you're going to be wasting time. If there are people that have already rejected his message and they're dangerous, it's not saying don't evangelize, but you need to be discerning to not waste time trying to just give your where you're at with God to people that are not going to receive it well. They're just going to put you down. But you got to discern that. You got to discern that. So it feels like this tough balance between don't judge, but then discern who not to share the principles of the gospel with. It's like, Lord, how do you work that out? Jesus gives us the answer. Let's read verses 7 to 11. This is not coming up on the screen. Verse 7 in your Bibles. So Jesus has just gone, do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. He's talking about prayer. He's saying, pray. I'll give you the discernment of when not to judge. You're not to judge, but when to discern. He says, for everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? See, this follows. We only ever look at this when we're talking about prayer. It is about prayer. It is about praying about anything and everything. But the context he's talking about this in is just coming from talking about judging others, but also discerning who to share the secrets about the kingdom of God, the gospel, the principles with. Give his measure. Give his measure. Lord, give us wisdom. So we're to use what he gives to help those that are in sin. So he gives us his measure. We're to use what he gives to help those who are in sin, those who are growing, those who are in sin, those who are growing, just like you and me. We're to give his measure to those who are just like us, and not to look at other people like we are better than them. But actually, as we experience God, as he reveals himself, as he forgives, we're to give his measure to others. Have you been trying to get the speck out of someone else's eye instead of starting with the log in your own eye? Have you been trying to get the speck out of someone else's eye? Have you been struggling in relationships? You're bitter about someone. You can't even speak to them. And you think it's done. I just can't even go there. I'm done with them. But you haven't actually maybe tried to address it with them again and again and again. When you go to Jesus and you say, Lord, show me if there's anything in my heart that I need to work on, so that I can receive more of your measure, and then so that I can give your measure in that situation. This is all a key to discipleship. Judge not, love a lot. Have you been trying to get the speck out of someone else's eye? See, Jesus tells us the key to all this, what I've been talking about, what he's talking about. The key comes in verse 12. Matthew 7:1-12. He's talking about not judging others. Talked about actually starting with yourself, examining yourself so you can actually see clearly to help your brother, your sister to take the speck out. He then says in verse 12, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do you want people to give up on you? Do you want people to give up on telling you the truth because they just think you're not going to get it? People to just walk away, to just write you off? We live in a canceling culture. It's like, nah, they've just done that too many times. They've disappointed me. I've lived with that for years and I'm just done. Imagine if someone was doing that to you. This is just examples that come to my mind in the moment. But we'd all have so many things that God's speaking to us and will speak. The key is this, the golden rule that we all know and have heard. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. That's the golden rule. Man, it kind of sounds like karma. I'm like, what's going on there? We don't work with karma. But you see how the world takes principles from the word and turns it into their own thing and puts their own limitations and things. And then we go, this is not talking about fear of man and being free from fear of man. We're not talking about you got to please people because you want to be pleased. We want people to be real. This is talking about whatever you wish, how you want to be treated. That's how you should treat others. That's how you should think of others. We're not saying live your life based on what others think and make them happy. It goes way beyond that. It goes in conjunction with the greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment? They asked Jesus. See, the golden rule goes in conjunction with the greatest commandment. Matthew chapter 22. I thought one of you were going to tell me where it was. So Matthew 22:37-40 says this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. This is the greatest commandment. And it says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The measure others as you want them to, as you want to be measured. The greatest commandment. The golden rule. But how do we actually know what's good for us or what God wishes for us? If we are saying, I want to measure others as I want to be measured. That starts by loving him with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind. As you do that, he reveals his purpose, his will. And it only should lead to loving others. Loving others. How are we loving others day to day? Judge not, love a whole lot, measure others as you want to be measured, examine yourself, extend grace, extend forgiveness, extend mercy.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.